Take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Exodus, if you would, chapter number 15. Here I began a series of messages on the home and the family, entitled Homeland Security, Protecting the Borders of the Christian Home. And I have enjoyed studying that subject in the Word of God extensively. And as I began to study the family in the Bible and the destruction of Satan in homes, beginning with the very first family, Adam and Eve, and whose second-born son became a murderer of his own brother, I realized that this matter of bitterness in the home and in the family is a core sin that is being used by Satan to disrupt and destroy the harmony between husbands and wives and parents and children and brothers with sisters and sisters with brothers. And throughout the Bible, you see the repercussions of this kind of a spirit, this bitter spirit that you see in Cain towards Abel, that you see in Joseph's brothers towards Joseph, that you see in Esau towards Jacob. And you'll see it throughout the Old and the New Testament, how oftentimes the harmony and spirit of a home is disrupted and destroyed because of the entrance of the sin of bitterness. And so I began to prepare a single message to deal with the issue. But by example, over 60 times in the Bible, very directly the Bible talks about this matter of a bitter spirit, a bitter heart, a bitter life. And I found it increasingly difficult within a 30 or 35 minute time frame to bring a message that would have any kind of completeness to it, to address this incredible issue in its in any kind of a thorough manner. And so I have divided the message into four parts, to which I hope you'll be very grateful, and that it didn't all come out at one time, or we'd be here quite late tonight. But tonight I want to bring to you a message on, notice this evening, concerning the characteristics of bitterness. Number one, that bitterness is not easy to detect. Now, there are several analogies used in the Bible of bitterness that help you understand or help you see that is not a sin that is easy to identify, particularly in one's own life. And in Exodus chapter number 15, we meet the children of Israel. They've recently exited the land of Egypt. And now in God's providence, they've been 3 days without water, which makes it very, very difficult to survive. And they came to a place, verse 23 of Exodus 15, a place called Marah. And the Bible says they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Now the very name, the very word Marah means bitter. When the children of Israel came to the waters of Marah, what they saw was, by all appearances, a beautiful stream of pure, clean, refreshing water. To the natural or casual observer, the water looked just fine. Its temperature, I'm sure, was cool and would have been refreshing. But you could not tell that the waters of Marah were bitter just by observation. And God, by analogy, is teaching us that this matter of the sin of bitterness in someone's life is not easy to detect. It is like the undrinkable water of Marah. It may appear to be good and wholesome and clean and pure, but it is full of poison. And it is full of bitterness. There is a second analogy used in the Old Testament of this matter of bitterness that also identifies it as being not easily detected. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter number 32, if you would. The song of Moses, actually his last sermon, just before dying. And in the middle of this message, he says in verse 32, "For their vine is of the vine of Sodom." Now Sodom had been destroyed hundreds of years, as well as the fields of Gomorrah, before this was written by Moses. Sodom and Gomorrah had been destroyed by God in the days of Lot. And remember, Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. God changed the chemistry of the ground in Sodom and Gomorrah. And now Moses said, "Their vine is as the vine of Sodom." He's talking about bitter people. "And of the fields of Gomorrah, their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter." Now, God is telling us here that bitterness is like a grape, like a cluster of grapes that is planted and cultivated and grown in the region of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I began to do some historical study concerning Sodom and Gomorrah and discovered that indeed historically there were attempts made to grow crops on the land that had once been Sodom and Gomorrah. And they successfully cultivated the ground. And vineyards were planted. And if any of you know much about vineyards and the planting of grapes, you don't plant a seed for a vineyard and in the fall get grapes. It is very lengthy in its process. Very time consuming. But there was success in the planting of those vines and in the cultivating of them. And eventually through the cultivation and the pruning of those vines, one spring, they went out and found, to their amazement, beautiful grapes growing in the soil of what had been the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But now, Moses says, there are people that they're bitter. And their bitterness is like the grapes and the clusters of grapes of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what I discovered is that after all of that effort in planting those seeds and or those vines and cultivating them, that when they took in the crops, the grapes looked beautiful. But when they squeezed them and tasted them, they were completely bitter. Now, do you see by using this analogy how difficult it is to detect bitterness? Many of us would say, "Well, I know I'm not bitter. Are you sure?" "Well, there's no bitterness. Can you tell by casual observation?" Absolutely not. Like the waters of Marah, everything may look very, very good. But there's bitterness present. Like the grapes of Sodom and Gomorrah, oh, they look like the best grapes you'll ever have. But when you taste them, they're bitter because bitterness is not easily detected. Bitterness, according to James, look with me in James chapter number 3. Let's go to the New Testament. Bitterness is not easily detected because of its appearance. Bitterness is not easily detected because not only of its appearance, but also the length of time that it takes in its development. What began as a project to grow grapes took a length of time before it could be identified as bitterness. Bitterness in James chapter number 3 is like heart disease. Verse 14, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your," where? In your hearts. Well, bitterness is like heart disease. That pain pierces your chest and you feel like as I did, as if I had a ton of bricks sitting on my chest. Long before that ever takes place, some arteries have begun to close up. Maybe a valve has stopped functioning properly. Some muscle has been destroyed. And though the attack is sudden, the symptoms are not sudden at all. And they have been there lying under the surface, but they're not easily detected. You may go to the doctor and he'll listen to your heart and he'll say, you know, everything sounds real, real good. But there could be heart disease, though your heart sounds real, real good. And it's very, very important as we lay a foundation for this matter of discerning bitterness in ourselves or in the people that God places in our lives, particularly those that are under our leadership and authority and influence, and then those that we care about in life. Sometimes we scratch our heads and say, what in the world happened to them? And I'm discovering that in many, many cases, though I could not see it like the waters of Marah, though I could not observe it like the grapes of Sodom, though I could not detect it like a heart disease, that underneath the surface in a life there was brewing a disease, an illness, a sickness, that eventually, not today, not tomorrow, not next week, maybe not even next year, but eventually it comes to the surface and results in great havoc, great destruction. Bitterness is not easily detected, but my friend, you better detect it soon, for the quicker you detect bitterness, the easier it is to deal with. Heart disease, it's a lot easier to deal with when you've got a plugged artery and they can go in and roto-rooter it out, amen. It's a lot easier than having to go in and slice a piece of that out and replace that artery and bypass. A lot easier to deal with than when a heart attack takes place. But I fear, Brother Outler, that many, many times people never get treated for their bitterness because they continually deny that they're bitter until the heart attack takes place and their heart muscle is ruined and their energy level goes down to nearly nothing and they die prematurely or they live their lives sidelined with no strength to serve the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. Whereas if they could have detected, would have detected their bitterness early in life and dealt with it, they would not have had to experience that heart attack. And I can't begin to tell you, I honestly think that most people that quit on God, they get angry and bitter at me and trying to live for God and all this kind of business. I honestly think when you boil it down to the very core, I think that most of them are simply bitter at God. And they can make the waters of Marah look real good. But if you get close to taste, you're going to detect bitterness. They can invest a lot of energy to make sure the vineyard looks real nice and the grapes look plush and good. But when you get close and you taste them, you see that there's bitterness. They can run and they can keep going as if there's nothing wrong. But when the heart attack occurs, then you discover the heart disease. I think one of the most profound examples of how difficult it is to detect bitterness in our own hearts and in the hearts of people we love has to be this, which we see in the book of Hebrews chapter number 12. Look there with me, if you would, please. In Hebrews chapter number 12, the Bible exhorts us in verse 15 that we look diligently. Why? Because the subject is bitterness, and he says bitterness is like a root. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the race of God. This is Hebrews 12:15. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness is like undrinkable water at Marah. Bitterness is like the grapes of Sodom and Gomorrah. Bitterness is like heart disease. And here in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says bitterness is like the root of a tree. Now, the root of the tree is under the ground. It's under the surface. It begins very, very small, but it grows and grows and grows and grows. And what you see above, at least that much is below that you cannot see it below the surface. The root of bitterness is difficult to detect because it is like the root of a tree. But it can be detected. The first people that will detect bitterness are those that are, well, let's look at Acts chapter number 8. And let's meet a man that was particularly gifted in discerning the presence of bitterness. Acts chapter number 8. He said, well, you know what? I'm just not really sure. I don't think I'm bitter, but I encourage you to get close to somebody that's close to God. And Philip, the evangelist, went down to Samaria to preach Christ, verse 5. Folks got saved, and then there's special attention paid to a man who got saved by the name of Simon, verse 9. But there was a certain man, called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, for time's sake, please jump down with me to verse 18. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive, now don't miss this, that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage, you are enslaved, the bondage of iniquity. That is a pretty harsh, bold, in-your-face rebuke, is it not? Here's Simon, not a older Christian, a younger Christian. He just simply says, hey guys, man, I see what God does through your hand. Let me give you some money so that I can have this power. And Peter said, you know what your real problem is, Simon? You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. But Simon, you are filled with a heart of bitterness. Simon was at the same crossroads that many of you have been, many others have been in their lives. Simon now has an opportunity. He can get mad. He can say, who do you think you are talking to me that way? Well, I'm saved. How dare you embarrass me in that way? Or he could say, oh, you're right. I can't really see it in myself, but it's there. Oh, please pray for me that this won't destroy me and that God will forgive me. And that was Simon's response. Thank God Simon had that response. Would to God that everyone who is rebuked by someone who is spiritually discerning, he said, I perceive. You don't just casually say, well, you know what? Yeah, I think they were. No, he had spiritual perception. And he, Peter, could see bitterness in the heart of Simon. That Simon, and I'd like to beg of you, I plead with you, to not listen to the voice of your own heart, which is deceitful above all things. Do not listen to the whispers of the evil one that everything's okay. And to not seek just the counsel and the advice of those peers that are around you. But I pray that you will go before those who go before God and who walk with God, and you'll bear your soul before them. And my friend, if they say in your face, my friend, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, then do not run away. Do not become angry and upset at them, but repent of your sin and root out bitterness out of your life. Bitterness is not easily detected. But bitterness can and will be detected first and foremost by those who have spiritual perception. Number 3. Look with me in Acts chapter number 4 and in conclusion, or excuse me, Ephesians chapter number 4. And here in this passage of Scripture that talks about bitterness, verse 31, thinking of the analogy of the book of Hebrews chapter 12, that bitterness is like a root, I want you to notice 5 fruit. That when you see these fruit, you can count on the presence of bitterness. You can't see the root. It says, let all bitterness. Bitterness is called a root in the Bible. It's called like the water of Marah. It's like a heart disease. It's like the grapes of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can't see this. So he says, let all bitterness, let that root be taken care of. Because if you try to deal with the next five issues without dealing with the root, you're never going to get to the root of the problem and you'll never get over it. But when you see people who are consistently or persistently, number one, filled with wrath, wrath is the fruit of bitterness. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers, don't mistreat your children in such a way that you provoke them to become bitter, and the evidence of their bitterness is going to be wrath. Now, a person that is filled with wrath is a person who has an attitude of, I am going to even the score. You wronged me, but I am going to even the score. Number two, one of the fruit of bitterness is not only wrath, but anger. Now, I understand that there is some anger. Our Savior at times was angry. He had an anger about sin. I also recognize that some people, even like Moses, a great and great man of God, Moses became angry, and it brought great consequences in his life, but very sad. But when the Bible here talks about this kind of anger that comes out of bitterness, is talking about, in fact, it's actually a word that means heat in one's spirit. It's a boiling inside that just seems to come out so easily, so quickly. It's like we live close to the boiling point. Now, some people are like water that is very cool. And when the pressure comes on that could heat them up, it takes a long time for them to get hot. But people that are bitter, you just put a little flame to them and they're going to go off very, very rapidly. And I know people like that. I mean, when you think of them, you think, that's an angry man. She's an angry woman. And my friend, when you see that kind of persistent anger, that kind of persistent wrath that says, I'm going to get even with you, my friend, you know you're seeing the fruit of a root that is called bitterness. The third fruit of this root of bitterness is called clamor. Now, clamor is a verbal argument. An example of this is in Acts chapter number 23 when Paul is talking and the Pharisees and the Sadducees are there in the temple, and Paul says, you know, that he's called there before God because of his belief in the resurrection. And the Bible says that there was a crying out between these two religious groups. It literally means they begin to argue verbally. And if you ever argue with somebody and then you get a little louder, and then they talk back and they get a little louder, and then you get back and you get a little louder, and then they talk back and you get a little louder, and then they talk back a little louder, and then you talk back a little louder, and then they talk back a little louder, and pretty soon you're yelling and you're screaming at each other. That's clamor. And if you're a screamer, I'll bet you're bitter. Somebody turns the heat up. Boy, I'm going to get them back. That's wrath. Didn't take you long to get angry, did it? And your voice can get louder and stronger and louder and stronger and louder and stronger. And pretty soon you're having a big time argument. That's the fruit of bitterness. Number four, evil speaking. This is actually the word blasphemy in the Bible, which means to destroy someone's reputation or character with our words. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah. Yeah, boy, did you know what they did? Yeah, I saw it. Saw their blog on the internet. Oh, yeah. Did you hear about somebody? Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Hey, why are you talking evil of people? You know, I'd like you to show me somewhere in the Bible where God says, husbands, criticize your wives. Wives, speak evil of your husbands. Children, speak evil of your parents, of your preacher, of God and the things of God. You know, the truth is, people who gossip, usually that's the fruit of the root of bitterness. People who try to build themselves up by tearing others down. Evil speaking. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. You know what the last one is? He that soweth discord among the brethren. And when you take information that's private and you share it with people that are not a part of the problem nor a part of the solution, you are speaking evil. You are blaspheming. You're destroying someone's character or reputation by your words, and it probably indicates that you have a root of bitterness. Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, finally, malice. The word malice literally means depraved behavior. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews that Esau, when Jacob stole his birthright by tricking his father, that Esau became bitter. Look with me in Genesis chapter number 27, because I want to show you in conclusion an example of this. The Bible very directly says that Esau was bitter in Hebrews chapter number 12 and here in Genesis chapter number 27. In fact, in verse number 34 of Genesis 27, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. You know, the word cry is the same root meaning of the word clamor. Now, verse number 41, after all of this transpired, the Bible says in verse 41 of Genesis 27, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, wasn't something you could see. He said, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. Is that not wrath? A plan to get even? And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him. This was really foolish of her. She misunderstood bitterness. Tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. That was dumb, Mom. You have no idea what you instigated when you told your son to lie to his own father. When you disrupted that oneness between the husband and wife, you began a series of events that made your son Esau bitter to such a degree that the Bible says in Hebrews that later on in life, he heard messages from God and God's word on bitterness, and he sought carefully repentance with tears, but he could not find repentance. The bitterness root was so deeply ingrained in his heart that it could not come out. And so you see in Esau's life wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking. His behavior was depraved. In fact, his bitterness spread not only to his brother, but look with me in Genesis 28 and verse number 8. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Do you know what that is? That's malice. Do you know what he said? Dad, you let this happen. And not only am I angry and full of wrath against my brother, but now I am bitter against you, Dad, and I'm bitter against you, Mom, and I am going to marry a woman that I know that you despise because I am bitter now at you. Now I wonder tonight, do you have the spiritual perception to identify bitterness in your own heart? If you do, we don't have time for all the solutions tonight, but I'll tell you a great place to start is at an old-fashioned altar. You turn to God, and I want to tell you, you'll find Him turn to you and He'll help you. And if you know someone, you can't see the root, but you can see the fruit. Wouldn't it be a good thing if we would beg God to make us spiritually discerning, that we might be able to help them identify the root of bitterness in their own heart? How thankful I am for confrontational, mature Christians in my own life who at times have come alongside and identified the root of bitterness in my own heart, that I might see it and repent and find forgiveness and root it out of my life.